Listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
It is time for hour number two. Rafael Esparza hanging out with us before his eye appointment. Going by far. Are you going with the optical like the like Mr. Peanut? Or
I'm going to get the chain and the glasses. I'm going to look old. I want to be old. I want to start carrying a pocket watch.
Do you get the ones that tint in the sunlight?
Ooh, I should get those too. I'm going to start wearing polos with pockets. Yeah. I'm going to old school striped white socks pulled all the way to the knee.
Getting his expert opinion on all things in the NBA playoffs tonight. Portland and Denver, we'll talk a little about that. The Bucks evening their series. Golden State going up 2-0. I'm going to ask Rafael coming up next segment. What's up with the Rockets? Can he even remotely make this a series? This looks nothing like the series that we saw last year. In our number one, we spoke with Chris McLean, covers the Carolina Panthers with WFNZ. As we're going around the NFC South, Mike Nabors on the on-deck circle. First, we got to welcome you officially to the midway point of your work week.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is?
It's hump day.
Hump day! I know you can hear me. Let's get
stupid. Today's more about that Camera Wednesday, hump day, is that what it is?
There he is, Shotzi, the Digital Underground, none other than Sean Payton, as well. Caleb the Camel, do you know the camel's name, Caleb, in that Geico commercial?
Yeah.
Look him up, he was in Transformers, he has a SAG card, he's been in like five different movies.
Really?
Yeah. No, Caleb has more money than we do, there's no doubt.
That's not hard.
Yeah, well, I hear you. Words of wisdom.
Peace and healthiness forever.
Welcome in Mr. Mike Nabors. At Mike Nabors, the way to follow him over on Twitter. You know him. Been covering the Saints for years on CST. Also, Rafael, as I like to call Mike, a double agent. Pewter Pirates covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers down there in Tampa as well. Yeah, so he kind of has the best of both worlds.
He's the 007 of
the world. He is the double agent for sure. What's going on, Mike? How are you?
I'm good. You had Chris McLean on. I used to work with him in Jacksonville, covering the Jags back in the day. It's a small business, my friend.
Nice. Yeah, no doubt it is for sure. He gave us some very interesting tidbits. I guess the two big things I got was they had Will Grier rated higher than Kyler Murray on their board there as well. And look, they don't know what's up with Cam Newton, so they may use Will Grier as a negotiating ploy. Just a lot of different takes that I got from him that were very interesting. When you look at Tampa Bay, it starts with me, Mike. I was dreading it going into it, even though I knew it. It's sort of like I know I'm going to the dentist and I know what's coming. I knew Devin White was going to Tampa. I didn't need to be, you know, Mel Kiper. I didn't need to be a draft analyst. Quan Alexander's gone. There's Devin White. That guy just fits, and dude, I see your tweets. I see everybody else's. He's been as impressive since Thursday as I thought. Just he's what that defense and team I think needs, character wise, personality wise. The interviews, he was there with one of the kids that's dealing with cancer that Bruce Arians brought to the draft. Just I mean, it's a home run, man.
You know, it's funny, though, with the Bucs fans, local media, they want a defensive lineman there. They didn't want Devin White. Not that they didn't like Devin White, but with Todd Bowles coming in as Bruce Arians' defensive coordinator, they're moving to the 3-4, and they don't have a lot of talent on that defensive line, a lot of depth anyway. It looks like Gerald McCoy may not be back. So Devin White was respected here in Tampa, but not the most popular pick, which is probably hard for anybody in Louisiana to fathom. But, yeah, I met him for the first time at the press conference. As you guys know, he's very impressive, mature beyond his years, very poised. It seems like one of those guys that wants to hit the ground running and work. And I think it's a perfect fit for Tampa. I mean, they're moving to the 3-4, but he's the kind of guy that could thrive in that 3-4. And I think, you know, Josh Allen was kind of the chic pick for a lot of Bucs fans. But, you know, Josh Allen, you know, to me, he's not as proven. He's not as the sure bet as Devin White in a lot of ways. So I think Devin White, you know, Bruce Arians said – he knew they were going to pick Devin White for 6 weeks. It wasn't a lot of pressure. They were just hoping that somebody wasn't going to pick him before they picked. And Devin White said the same thing, that he was actually hoping that he'd go fifth. I mean, I know he has to say that at the press conference, but he seemed like he was sincere about it, did not want to go to the Raiders, had a comfort level with Bruce Arians. There's so many LSU guys that have played for Bruce Arians, and he's heard it from his, you know, former teammates and guys who played at LSU. So it's a real comfort level all around with Devin White.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Speak with Mike Neighbors, covers the Buccaneers, and, of course, you're New Orleans Saints with CST. You know, one of the things, Mike, that I look at that's interesting already just in today, which is why I wanted to do this, two teams in the division are switching how they're going to do defense. Chris McClain saying that you're going to see a lot more 3-4 from the Panthers, and you're going to see a defensive scheme difference that you haven't seen before in Carolina as Ron Rivera takes over the defense. Why is Tampa Bay going to 3-4?
Well, it's always worked well for Todd Bowles. That's kind of his bread and butter. But I think a big problem with the Bucs in recent years, well, there's a lot of problems with the Bucs, but one of the ones that stands out is a lot of guys that played out of position. I mean, they draft Vernon Hargraves out of Florida a couple of years ago, and he's a press corner, and they didn't have him playing. They had him playing zone and, you know, kind of off the receiver a little bit. Then you had Vita Vea, who they drafted last year. You know, he played in the 3-4 in Washington, and they had him play the 4-3 a year ago. And, you know, he was hurt, and you can't really blame the scheme a lot, but you have core guys in that defense playing out of position. So I think Todd Bowles comes in, he recognizes that. The tough thing for the Bucs is last year they drafted two corners in the second round. I mean, they had 3 second-round picks, and all of them could be bust, Gus. I mean, Ronald Jones is a running back, didn't look good. He's going to have a huge bounce back here. Then they picked two corners, and Carlton Davis out of Auburn and MJ Stewart from North Carolina, who didn't play that well at all last year. So what do they do this year, a year later? Well, they draft three more corners in the second and third rounds, which has every Buccaneer fan kind of scratching their head. Well, Todd Bowles obviously came in and said, you know what? I don't think those corners fit in the 3-4. We got to get guys in more depth that can. So you wonder for the Bucs if last year's draft was almost wasted besides Vita Vea. I mean, time will tell a little bit, but it's been strange couple drafts for the Bucs. But you know what? That's what happens when you switch coaches. They bring in their own scheme. They want their own players. So I think that's a big reason why the Bucs have struggled so much. I think they've had 5 coaches since John Gruden's left. Mm-hmm. And if you count John Gruden, so they've had 6 different coaches since Sean Payton's been the head coach in New Orleans. Wow. And you can't win that way.
Yeah, that is tough to do when you look at it from that standpoint. Look, I that said, and you know this, every time they play the Saints, man, those games are always close, and they always seem to kind of get up for one another doing that. So we've touched on the defensive side, what they got there. It starts and ends with Jameis Winston. Right before they went to the head coaching search, wasn't the message from ownership that Jameis is our guy? We're sticking with them. So extension, new deal, what's the latest? Is Jameis Winston the future at quarterback for the Buccaneers?
Well, he's the immediate future because, you know, he got his 5th-year option picked up, so he's going to make the big money this year. But, you know, he's a lame duck quarterback right now. I think the great thing for Jameis is that Bruce Arians came in liking Jameis Winston, and a lot of head coaches may not have liked him and would have said, you know what, even though you picked up the 5th-year, he's not going to be my guy. Let's bring in somebody else and make it a battle. But they got rid of Ryan Fitzpatrick, and Bruce Arians said, you know what, I want Jameis to be comfortable. I don't want to have some guy looking over his shoulder. They got rid of DeSean Jackson, who was trouble in that locker room. He was, you know, adamant that he was a Fitzpatrick guy. So they've alleviated some pressure off of Jameis Winston. They brought in a coach who really believes in him, and he's not going to be suspended for the first couple games, at least. You know, we'll see what happens in the next couple months. You never know with him. But I think it's no more excuses for Jameis Winston. You know, he's had a lot of people make excuses for him in the past couple years where he's a young quarterback or he's been hurt or he's coming off a suspension. No more excuses. You got a coach who believes in you. You don't have a guy breathing down your neck, and you have a huddle that really, you don't have any controversy there. So he's the guy, but he's going to have to deliver this fall.
Mike Neighbors, CST, and also, of course, Peter Pirates, right? Is that right, Mike?
Yes, PeterPirates.com, yes.
There it is, making sure. Doing that. I love the ride-along. What is it? Y'all like go run errands? Y'all go to the grocery store? What is it you do with some of these pretty – yeah, Dick Vitale and a couple of other folks already.
Yeah, I appreciate it. You know what? We just did one with Zach Streif. We released the trailer, so if you go on YouTube and check out Errands, we're starting errands, a series where we run errands with sports stars. And Dick Vitale was our pilot. I know that's not a popular name in Louisiana, but that was before all the Will Wade stuff happened, and Dick was great to me, and I'll always, you know, appreciate him launching it for me. But Zach Streif was good too, and we appreciate Mercedes-Benz in New Orleans giving us a Maybach to drive Zach around in. So I had to get something roomy for the offensive line.
I'm sorry, a Maybach?
How about that? How about that?
Wow. Rafael, you see that? I have him on my show. I'm not being asked to run errands in the Maybach. I mean, what's up with? I would have been happy with the GLE, GLC. I'm good with that. You know, any of those. I mean, I know they got a class. What is it? The S class that has the back massager in the back seats. Mike, I'm good, man. I'm good. If you need some additional help in these things.
We'll keep that in mind. The massager was very nice. Every time you took a turn, I felt it a little bit. But I told Streif I could have got him like a Honda or something like that. But Streif, as you know, Streif is fantastic. And you got to check out. We're going to release that in the next week. We've already released the trailer. But Streif, we went and checked out. This is before Mardi Gras. He showed us his Bacchus float. What else did we do? We went by his brewery, and he was a hands-on owner. And then, of course, we had to finish with the beer together.
Well, you have to taste it. You got to make sure that what he's putting in the cans and bottles are actually really good. Pierre Thomas, your latest guest on Been There, Done That. We speak with Scott Shanley very often here as well. Obviously, part of the CST family as well. Man, he's really good, isn't he? I mean, I love Scott, man. He's really taken into, and he started really doing a lot of college football last year as well over at CST. He's really good at not only analysis, but just kind of bringing you into the player's perspective of things.
Yeah, I'm a big Shanley fan, and it's funny. Saints fans, I encourage you to check out our podcast. It's called Been There, Done That. And it's Done Dad Podcast on Twitter. And what we've done is we bring in a different player, sometimes a media member. But we had your man Larry Holder on a couple weeks ago. He really went crazy with some of those stories. But we bring a little different perspective. Then we had Pierre Thomas on our last show. And he gave us a great story about that 2011 playoff game where he was, of course, knocked out early. Yeah. And he didn't really like the game plan after that. He didn't agree with it. So there were some really candid conversations with Pierre Thomas. But, yeah, Shanley's great because – you know, it's funny, we bring on former players and they say, even Pierre said this, he said, you know, I always picked the brain of the linebackers. You know, Vilma was always in his ear, but Shanley, you were so quiet, I didn't really talk to you too much. And everybody was amazed that we had Colston on one week with Scott Shanley, two of the quietest guys of that Super Bowl era for the New Orleans Saints. So we bring in somebody different. I mean, we've had Streif, we've had Deuce, we've had Colston, Roman Harper, Pierre Thomas, we've had Thomas Morstead. And we had John Stench come on recently. So we're going to have a different player on every week, and we're going to have current players on the more and more we're on the air with this podcast. So, but Shanley's fantastic, and, you know, we do kind of an open segment on the state of the Saints, and we do a lanyap at the end where we do a little bit extra on football. So I encourage you to check it out. But, yeah, Shanley's fantastic.
You know, it's interesting. One of the things I think that's fun from my perspective and yours as well, when we get a chance to cover teams, be on the sideline or just talk to athletes in the locker room and be there and actually see what it's like. It's not all sunshine and roses a lot of times. During the games, it's emotional. It's a physical sport. So anybody that's ever been in a physical confrontation, been pushed around, so I mean, your emotions kind of, you have to meet that emotion up. So you have to amp yourself up to that. And I've always been an admirer of the fine balance of being together and playing as one team, one unit, one group when you have to be emotional and do that. So it is interesting to hear those stories from those guys like Pierre Thomas. I didn't care for that game plan. Look, I always knew, and you know this from when you do your interviews, there are certain players in the locker room you'll go to if you want to kind of go towards a certain storyline. When the Saints aren't running the football, Pierre Thomas was my go-to because the guy wanted to rush 40 times a game. He wanted to run the ball. I mean, same thing. Mark Henry's like, give us a chance to run the ball. Sean Payton can be stubborn and not do it. So when the Saints would go, Rafael, 2-3 games where, you know, you can see they're not running the ball, I would fly to Pierre Thomas and I'd just be like, didn't lead him. I'd be like, Pierre, how can the offense get a little more balanced? Because you know what balance means,
in
Mike.
The season last year.
Balance, Mike, means run the ball more. So I said that, pressed record, and off he went.
He's fantastic. And you know what is great about Pierre Thomas is the confidence that he had coming in to that training camp when you had Deuce McAllister, when you had Reggie Bush, when you had Aaron Stecker, and then you had fourth round pick Antonio Pittman, who, oh, by the way, is a firefighter now in Ohio.
No kidding.
Which I told Pierre, and he was kind of surprised by that. But Pierre said at the time when he came to that training camp, you'll hear this in our podcast, he drove down there. And all of his teammates are like, why are you bringing a car? You're not going to make this team. He's like, yeah, I'm going to make the team, and I'm going to have my car with me. And I love the confidence. And, I mean, to me, you got to have confidence to come in with that kind of depth, you know, at the running back position and make the team. And, you know, his stories of trying to help Antonio Pittman at the time, who wouldn't play special teams, to having his own car, to, you know, becoming the back that he did, and, you know, the stories of the playoffs, that's what we try to accomplish in the podcast, frankly, Gus. And we've really enjoyed it. And it's fun because Shanley and I really don't rehearse it because we don't want to. We want it to be raw. So Shanley and I always have different questions, and we've been able to play off each other pretty well, too. So it's brought a different side of Shanley that you maybe don't see on TV. You know, you could be a little more comfortable in the podcast, too. So I think anybody feels that way, on either when you're on the radio. It's just a different medium, but it's been fun to do. We really enjoyed it.
Yeah, no doubt. And look, I'm a Saints fan, a New Orleanian, obviously. I mean, born and raised here. He was just one of my favorite people to cover, to watch play. It's just, like I said, I'll never forget being on the sideline at Chicago, part of the Saints broadcast, Mike, and it was the game that he had to start because of injuries, and he started and he rushed for 100 yards. It's the first time he rushed for 100 yards. Remember, he took a pop. This is my story, Pierre Thomas. Took a pop from Urlacher right in front of me. I mean, you know, it was one of those, I had to jump to get out the way as they were sprawling towards the near sideline here. And, I mean, Pierre Thomas is blinking, trying to regain, you know, thought. And Urlacher's doing the same thing. And he's going, woo, woo. And he picked him up and he goes, man, you can run. I mean, he said something around the nature he can run. He picked him up, though, patted him on the helmet on the backside. And what was interesting about that is after that, Bears players then began picking Pierre Thomas up after tackles. And I thought that was cool because they saw him do that and they saw it, I guess, as a sign of respect. And once that happened, everyone was helping Pierre Thomas get up. And I thought that really, I don't know why that story stands out to me, but, you know, at that time, I mean, Urlacher was one of the top linebackers in the NFL, Raphael.
Was that bald Urlacher or hair Urlacher?
No, that was bald Urlacher. And, you know, it was a day game. And, I mean, Pierre Thomas was just, he was running all over him. And, I mean, Urlacher popped him, dude, and picked him up. And they were both trying to shake the cobwebs off. But Urlacher doing that just stood out to me, Mike.
Well, it's funny because you remember, he made no bones about it. When he played the Chicago Bears, he got jacked up, being the Chicago native that he was. So that story makes a lot of sense. I mean, he would have so many big games against the Chicago Bears because for a while there, the Saints seemed to be playing them every year. Yeah, I always thought it was almost every year. It was crazy. But, we asked him about, you know, because in this podcast we had Deuce on, and he talked about how Ricky Williams didn't help him as a rookie and why he wanted to play more than Reggie Bush. He made sure because of that experience. He wanted to help out Reggie Bush when he came along. So I asked Pierre, I said, well, how did Deuce and Reggie help you? And in our podcast, he really goes in length about it, but he says he was so impressed by, you know, he was a quiet guy in the room because he was a young guy, but Deuce was such, his vision was just so much better than most running backs, and that's what impressed him. He learned so much from Deuce on how to see everything from a running back's perspective. And then he said with Reggie, it was really two things. Reggie Bush worked out so much. He started working out harder in the weight room and really improving that part of his routine. And also, Reggie encouraged him to catch balls and be more well-rounded as a running back. And I thought that was interesting. And to me, you know, we think of Pierre Thomas with the screen, the Super
screen,
Bowl play.
First.
And he talks about his favorite play in the podcast. So you got to check that out. And how he would talk to the offensive linemen and he would say, hey, what works for you guys? Go to the coaches. It was a real collaborative effort. So, we kept him on longer than anybody we've had because, it just kept going, and it was great. I really enjoyed it.
Well, Mike, as we close up, remember that touchdown in the Super Bowl was screened to Pierre Thomas. So there it is.
No doubt.
First touchdown.
His calling card.
Yeah, it really was. You're absolutely right. So it's interesting to hear that tide came to be. Reggie, hey, you might want to go catch some balls, and that could be your element. It is. I mean, it's crazy to think that that was what stood him out with the rest of the backs in the backfield. Great stuff, man. I had to touch on that because it was fantastic. And I love what that's going on. So, look, I'm all about good content, and that's good content. And thanks for giving us just a little peek behind the curtain when it comes to the Buccaneers.
Yes. Stick with us on the podcast. We're real excited about it. We've got a lot of great guests lined up. Reggie's going to come on with us in the coming weeks. So I appreciate you letting me plug in, my friend.
For sure, man. Thank you so much, Mike. Stay tuned.
Hey, Tom.
And my neighbors.
I have never listened to this podcast.
It's really good.
I just jotted it down to my list.
There you go. Go check it out. 800-998-1003 at ESPN Radio NOLA if you'd like to chime in. Coming up bottom of the hour, Carlos Medina. Next segment, we'll quickly touch on the NBA playoffs. I want to get your opinion. What's up with the Rockets, man? I have an idea and a theory on it. And, yeesh, it looks nothing like the series last year in the Western Conference Finals. You're listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Thibodeau Volunteer Fire Department invites you and your family and friends to join them for their annual Thibodeau Fireman's Fair. Come on out and enjoy their local cuisine, pay one price rides, and hop in live music while also getting the chance to support your local volunteer firefighters. Enjoy 4 days of fun at the biggest free concert in South Louisiana. See different headliner bands each day on Rouse's Markets Band Stage. Category 6 on Thursday. Friday night, The Groove, Chase Tyler Band, and Fuel. Saturday is the Homa Stage Band, Carrie Thibodeau Powerhouse, Snapper and the Fish Sticks, LaRue, and headliner Jody Messina. Sunday is Swamp Pop and Zydeco with Pat Tala, Junior Lacrosse, Chubby Carrier, and Royal Blue Guru featuring Wayne Toops. So come on out to the Thibodeau Fireman's Fair May 2nd through the 5th and enjoy great food, great music, auctions, the $10,000 raffle, the 5K fun run on Saturday morning, and the Fireman's Parade on Sunday beginning at 11. Thibodeau Fireman's Fair, 1101 Tiger Drive in Thibodeau. We would like to thank our 4-alarm sponsor, Rouse's, and our 3-alarm sponsor, Go-Bear Oil.
Bailey's Tire Service is your one-stop shop auto repair center. Their goal is to satisfy customer needs that walk through the door with their selection of Cooper, Mastercraft, and Toyo tires. Bailey's Tire Service will treat your ride like their ride. So for auto repairs from oil changes, brake repairs, Bailey's Tire Service is your complete auto repair shop. Visit them online at baileystireservice.com or check them out on Facebook.
Common sense. It's missing in government today.
Big Mike Fazy. He's not a politician.
I'm Mike Fazy, and I care about our future. This community is made of talented, hardworking people who deserve more.
Big Mike Fazy, focused on finding solutions.
To grow our economy, improve schools, and tackle coastal erosion, we need new leaders who will say no to the good old boy system and just deliver results.
Big Mike Fazy, State Senate.
Paid for by the campaign to elect Michael Fazy Sr.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
It is 13 days, 6 hours, 6 minutes, 20 seconds. Until, are you ready? The NBA draft. That's right. If you're bored and got a little time on your hands, you ready? Tankathon.com. You know what Tankathon.com is? It is an NBA draft lottery simulator. That's right. Right now, the Knicks got the best percentage to win it. The overall, they have the worst record, 17-65. Cleveland, Phoenix, both the 19 wins. That's next, the 2-3. Chicago, 4. With 22 wins. Atlanta, 29. Washington, 32. And the Pels are 7th. Raphael, they have a 26% chance of getting in the top 4. I would love a top 4 pick. I think a top 4 pick is a nice get for this team. Don't you? Yeah. Don't you think a top 4 pick, you can get somebody that's really nice? You agree with that?
I agree. I mean, okay. I would even say top 5. There's some really good talent in this NBA draft.
Okay. Now, you press the sim lottery. And it changes in different aspects of it. There was one I saw this morning that I thought was interesting. And again, you can just keep hitting the button and it just changes all the time if you want to just redo it. So I'm going to keep hitting it until I find what I liked. But what I saw one this morning was very interesting.
What, Lakers number one?
Phoenix number one. New Orleans number two.
How many times did you hit this?
No, I didn't. Button? Somebody else hit it, okay? But, and I saw it on Twitter, and I went, oh, that's fantastic. What's not good is I keep doing it as I'm talking, and the Pels are either seventh or eighth.
That's
not,
what I'm saying.
I don't see.
How many times did you hit the button?
He must have the magic touch because I keep seeing the Pels actually dropping to eight. But here we go. Here's the one that I think a lot of people would love here as well. So I hit the draft simulator. New York 1, Pelicans 2. Let's just go with these two scenarios here. Just play
and
with
I
me on this.
I already know who your number
just
two pick
play
is.
Play with me on this. Can you please just play with me on this? All right. So, if the Phoenix Suns, let's start with that one. The Phoenix Suns were to get the number one pick, there's already reports out of there for what they have already. Ja Morant is perfect for him. Plug him in. Suns are off and running. They like what they like. Right? Now, it reminded me when I saw that this morning, 2006, Mario Williams goes to the Texans. There he is, available for you to select Reggie Bush. If the Pels get the number two spot, first off, I'm ecstatic. I'm ecstatic if they get number two. I am high-fiving my dog, my baby, neighbors, myself. I am ecstatic because you're getting...
The green grass.
Okay, the green grass. I will mow the lawn happily. Because if you don't get Zion, you get Ja Morant. And I'm in. You can pick any. You can move down one or two, still get Kobe White at point. I think getting a point guard, if it's not Zion, to go along with Drew Holiday and other pieces, I think you got to have that. When you look at the NBA playoffs right now, look, Bledsoe being aggressive yesterday with Milwaukee was key, yep, right, in that 24-2 run. You have to have a point guard. You were talking about Joker in Denver. That's fine. You have to have guard play to get them the ball.
Murray, yeah.
I mean, you have to have that. So you get into that stratosphere and point, you can pick one of two really good point guards. I love Kobe White with his athleticism and his size to go with Drew Holiday. You're talking about a backcourt that can defend, man. I mean, that makes me excited. Ja Morant makes me excited. And if you get to number two and Phoenix goes one with Ja Morant, there's Zion. Do you imagine the phone call? There's not enough time. You would need six lines because everyone's going to be trying to trade to get up. That's what I'm saying. Same thing with Phoenix. Whoever wins one, the lines are going to go bananas. You get two, the lines are going to go bananas. I don't know if I'm as happy or, man, you would need a month to prep. It's a good thing it's May 14th because I would need a month to prep for all the different scenarios because teams will be willing and offering a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I think the worst case scenario if the Knicks get the number one, because I think we all agree there's no way the Knicks would trade it. They're drafting Zion and they're going to put him on the Empire State Building and then they go. But in your case scenario, I don't see them going to top five picks.
Well,
you're Pelican fans, I would go to the guy to get to the guy from Texas Tech. That's what I'd be targeting. Culver. I mean, he's 6'8". He's not a point guard, but he's a nice shooting guard. He's got size.
But Drew Holiday is your shooting guard.
But this guy is a...
Drew Holiday's your shooting guard does not want to play point.
I think Culver could be really...
Why are you
good.
Trying to start stuff?
I'm just saying...
You're starting stuff. Well, Give me someone else.
You're the one that's saying you get the number two pick.
Yes.
Because you hit the sim button to over 50 times.
15 times, and I got what I wanted. That's what I...
If that's the case, the Bulls are going to get number one, and we're going to get Zion. And then trade for Anthony Davis, and then we'll have Anthony and Zion.
Do you have odds on AD staying?
We're probably going to put up odds. We took all our NBA scenario odds, KD, all mm-hmm. that. We're going to wait for the draft. We're probably going to put because the speculation.
What are you hearing? What's the word here?
I'm hearing he's probably going to go. I don't think he comes back.
Okay. Well, you use probably.
I think the grumbling.
That's changed because in the last couple of months it was, oh, he's definitely gone.
Well, I think you guys made some really, really good improvements in the front office.
Getting Aaron Nelson was big, right, from Phoenix, the head athletic trainer?
Can he play defense? Can he shoot a jump ball? I understand that. But
Jared Dudley, a player that has ties to the Pels. When you have NBA players tweeting, that's a good move. Remember what you're trying to do. You're trying to recruit people to come play for your organization. So if people, to your point, get that excited about somebody that's not going to help you on defense or on offense, you're moving in the right direction.
Is your trainer going to sell tickets?
I it'll sell tickets if you'll get players that want to play there because they think they can be taken care of.
I agree on that. I still think KD goes. Not KD. I still think Anthony Davis goes.
Right.
I still think he goes to the Eastern Conference.
Okay.
I think he still goes to the Eastern Conference.
All right. Quick break. We come back. He's on the line getting ready to tell us about the, Atlanta Falcons. We've talked about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
The NFC South Division champions?
Yeah, no, stop it. And the Carolina Panthers, Mr. Vegas in the studio with us. You got the Falcons winning the NFC South?
No, but I just want to see my Twitter thing blow up.
Okay, yeah. Well, at VSI Doc Sports, if you'd like to give him the business. We'll speak with Carlos Medina next on ESPN New Orleans.
Hi, I'm Lindy LaRue with Donlin Construction. Are you thinking about starting a new project? Well, if you have an idea, we'll make it happen. Donlin Construction, a state licensed contractor, offers many services from site work, concrete paving and foundations, to customized office buildings and warehouses. Whatever service you require, Donlin Construction will make it happen. Just call 985-798-7788. Donlin Construction.
The weather's heating up, which means it's the perfect time to get that brake job done. At AutoZone, we have everything you need to do it right. Replacing your brake pads? It might be time to replace your rotors, too. Our Duralast brake bundle has the proven tough Duralast pads and rotors you need to do the complete job, starting at only $99.99 and sold only at AutoZone. Getting the job done just got easier. Let us help you at more than 5,600 locations nationwide. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Is pain putting a strain on your quality of life? Don't suffer in silence. Get relief at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Dr. Luis Hernandez and Dr. Keith Duplantis can provide solutions to neck, knee, and back pain, as well as pain associated with injury, arthritis, nerve damage, and migraines. Get help for your pain at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Call today, 985-493-4080, or go to Thibodaux.com.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
I gotta ask you something. What are we all here to do? We are all here.
I think I'd rather listen to elevator music than this, wouldn't you, Raphael? Elevator music? No, you like this? That's right, yeah. You hate the Saints. Front office.
I don't hate
Lowe's.
The Saints.
No way to follow Carlos Medina on Twitter. What's up, Carlos? How you doing, man?
Gentlemen, it's a pleasure to always be on with you guys whenever I get the chance to do it.
I enjoy it too, man. Things going well? You doing all right?
Yeah, you know what? No complaints. I'm actually very happy to. This is kind of like my off season. Finally, now that I'm done with the draft, done with the season guides and everything else, I can now actually just enjoy sports until August. And then we'll get this thing going again.
All right, you're over on 680 The Fan in Atlanta, and I've asked this to Chris McClain up in Charlotte, Mike Neighbors in Tampa. So now I'm going to do it with you. What was it like getting into Thursday before Thursday comes? Just the overall sense and feeling for people calling over there. You and the fellow hosts as well, as to what you wanted and thought Atlanta should do in the draft?
Two things primarily. Anything that had to do with big guys with big butts up front, whether it's on the offensive or defensive lines. This draft was going to be about meat and potatoes. It wasn't going to be about, you know, what wide receiver you were going to come out of the first round with, or what amazing running back that you're going to grab. This was strictly about putting people in front of Matt Ryan that could protect him, or putting people on the defensive line that could get after the Drew Breeses of the world, that could go track down Cam Newton in the backfield. And so that was the primary need and what everybody believed was going to happen on Thursday.
All right, so the draft happens. We've seen the videos. I might have chuckled or two. Horns going off at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium when the first pick, Chris Lindstrom, happens, and fans don't know who that is. I get it, because it's O-line, and we got it here with McCoy from Texas A&M. It made a ton of sense for us, though, man. And I've been saying, look, that's a great, solid pick. How have fans reacted to the guard being the top pick?
You know what? It's funny that you mentioned having a similar thing, because McCoy for me was a top 40 player, and so getting him where you did with the Max Unger retirement, that was an ideal, perfect pick, and definitely worth the draft capital. But the Atlanta Falcons, their fan base has not been used to drafting offensive linemen, especially a guard, in the first and second rounds. And so you got that reaction, even though everyone realizes Matt Ryan got sacked 42 times last year. That was nearly a career high. The last time was 44 back in 2013, and that's why they had to go out and get the Jake Matthews of the world and rebuild the offensive line. It was just time to do it. And so it's not sexy, but drafting offensive linemen does make your offense better.
You know, it's crazy, Carlos. You say that, and it's what I've been trying to say here as well. The years the Saints have had success. Look at last season. I mean, it's easy because you know what the storyline was here, Carlos? It was, they need a receiver. Look, no one opposite of Michael Thomas. I'm like, Drew Brees lost a second. He lost a second. NFL Live had that video against the Rams midseason. I keep saying this over and over again. It's probably nauseating our listeners. He had almost 3 seconds, 2.7, 2.9 in that regular season game against the Rams. Towards the end of the year and in that playoff game against the Rams, 1.7, 1.9. That's almost a second off. When you guys went to the Super Bowl, that O-line protected Matt Ryan in that offense. I mean, it's just that simple. If you want to be high-powered, you want to score, that line has to be healthy.
And it's funny you mentioned that Super Bowl season, Gus, because the Atlanta Falcons that year were the only team out of all 32 in the NFL that started the same offensive line for all 16 games in the playoffs. And so that continuity is such a big deal. The thing that really came about, and Thomas Dimitroff, the Falcons general manager, has said it all over the place to everyone he can, when they started having injuries on their offensive line and they realized how short they were, where they were having to go to guys on the street and say, listen, I need you to play 60 snaps this weekend at guard for this team in an NFL game. That was a scary place for them to be in. And so, you know, they went out in the offseason, they signed a couple veteran guards, but at the same time, they went into this draft saying, if we can keep getting better at this position, so we're not in the same position that they were in last year, then that's going to be good for the football team.
Speak with Carlos Medina, 680, the Fan at front office, Los, the way to follow him over on Twitter. All right, so look, it does start there. I know there's a lot of attention here when it comes to Drew Brees, quarterback as well. Teddy re-signed this year. What's up with Matt Ryan? Because it almost seems, obviously, when the Falcons do well, there he is, MVP, everyone loves him. When the Falcons struggle, it's Matt Ryan's fault. And so what is that, I guess, love-hate relationship with the quarterback number two there?
Well, you know, the MVP season obviously helped and has pretty much put him in a place where Atlanta realizes what they have, and protecting him above all has to be the main priority with this team. I think even last year, with a team that struggled for most of the year, that finished up 7-9, you go back and you look at Matt Ryan's numbers, they're still really good numbers. You had so many other issues from the amount of defensive injuries to this team. You know, this team lost, if I remember correctly from last year going through it, about 3,000 snaps from defensive players who had played the year before. The Keanu Neals at safety, the Ricardo Allens at safety, losing Deion Jones for the better part of 8 or 9 games, having Grady Jarrett go down with a high ankle sprain. So much of what they were looking to do was, okay, Matt, as long as you stay Matt, we can get better and healthier in other places and bounce back and have another playoff season.
See, Raphael just saw my face. That's what makes me nervous about this year. Because go ahead, give us the stats too. How many games was it? 4 that you guys lost on the last, literally the last play of the game, 3 or 4?
Yeah, I believe it was 5. In fact, that was 5. The crazy part because
we're
bring
7
up
7-9 and 5 games could have been wins. That's my point. That's what scares me about this team.
Well, that's the crazy part. You know, that New Orleans game early on in the season really just set a tone for what was going to happen the remainder of the year. Obviously, their very first game of the season goes down right to the goal line again against the Eagles. They can't get it done again. They then follow that up with Cincinnati beating them on the final play. The Cowboys kick a last-second field goal. So, yeah, you had 4 or 5 games right there where you just went, last play of the game, all right, and oh, by the way, we're doing this with a pretty patchwork defense because of the amount of injuries.
Yeah, I said it. Look, losing Freeman and Jones, that's like losing a top Cam Jordan to me and Alvin Kamara. Am I wrong on that?
No, it's that kind of importance for them. As much as guys like Cam Jordan set the tone with that defense, that's what Deion Jones does here. He is the alpha male in that huddle. And so, you know, having him go down, having the injuries that they had that occurred on the offensive line, you know what, if it's everyone who was going to be upset, it was the running backs last year, because once Freeman went down, it was going to be a chance for other guys to shine. This offensive line just did not allow any of that to happen.
All right. So what's the outlook going into, I guess, what are some of the early storylines here going into OTA minicamp?
It's still going to be about what they're going to do with Grady Jarrett. He is still – now, he has signed his tender, but he received the franchise tag earlier this offseason. The team – it's very curious. You hear them talk about getting Julio Jones into a new deal as he's a 30-year-old wide receiver. That's going to be one of the things that they believe is going to happen. Deion Jones is going into the last year of his contract. Let me just take a step back and point this out. So much of the reason why the Falcons drafted the way they did is because next offseason they have to have a new deal in place for Julio. They have to have a new deal in place for Deion Jones. They have to figure out what they're going to do with Vic Beasley and Grady Jarrett, and they have to do this only with $16 million in cap space. So many of these people that they drafted were people were upset, oh, that's a developmental guy. Yeah, because you're going to have somebody next in line so that they can create cap space by releasing some veterans next offseason. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to make any of these moves happen.
Can that make me feel a little bit better? Because the Saints have the same problem as well.
It's
coming
a mirror
up.
Image, yeah. We're all in the same boat.
It really is. I mean, it really is.
So
it's
Tampa
very
Bay
close.
Wins the division? Is that what we're all saying?
See, we're not ready to say that.
Listen, I'm not drinking yet. I can't go there.
Exactly, man. Hey, man, thanks for your time this afternoon. Carlos Medina, 680 The Fan. Go check out frontofficefootball.net as well. At Front Office Los, a must follow. And we always enjoy when you give us a little time in the afternoons here, man. Thank you, bud.
Take care, guys. Have a good one.
For sure. I feel a little bit better about that. Okay, so of those three guys, you got to pay Deion Jones.
Yes.
I mean, again, what does he have, 4 or 5 interceptions on Drew Brees? I mean, he is a Brees killer. Forget Saints killer.
I thought the Falcons had a really good draft. Offensive lineman, the guy from Washington. I know you guys here in New Orleans don't watch Washington games because you guys are sleeping.
Look.
But he's an offense. I think it's McGray. I think he's going to be a stud for them.
It is a local pastime of making fun of Atlanta.
Well, I'm just saying. I'm with you.
At the same time, I'm a football realist. That is not a bad football team. I mean, again, he said it. Saints, Eagles, Cincy, Cowboys. They didn't lose in the final quarter. They didn't lose over a second half like they did to the Patriots in the Super Bowl, which we love to remind them of. They lost on the last play. You do odds for a living.
Yeah.
What are the odds that you lose 4 to 5 out of 16 games on the last play?
With bad offensive line all season long.
I'm just trying to think about that. Like, it's the last play. It's not the second to last. It's not the last series. It's not, hey, with a minute left, the other team scores. You know, you throw an interception with a minute. The last play of the game. As in, when that play ends, there is no time remaining on the clock. That's incredible. And they won 7. Give me half. Give me half of those. Say the Saints.
I think that
Drew Brees gets hit and tackled there, right? Because in that game, the Saints defense couldn't stop them. Let's not forget that game. They couldn't stop Atlanta.
That Bengals loss was bad for them, though.
I hear you.
Kicked in the groin right there with losing.
Three more wins. They're in the postseason.
It's going to be, let's face it, it's going to be between the Saints and
the Saints. If Joey, not trying to, you know, Cleveland's kicker makes a kick. Baltimore's kicker, who never misses. Take away 2 wins
Pittsburgh.
From the Saints. Take away 3. Carolina, the strip fumble where the Panthers are going down the field to put the nail in the coffin at Charlotte. I mean, it is that close. Now, I understand that's the difference between winning football, losing football. You got to make plays.
Yeah.
You have to make plays. So I understand that overall broader element to it.
And if you don't make plays, you just pour
that. I'm bringing it up because when a team's that close to not making a play, not plays, but a play, I can't sit there and go, good luck this. No, no, no. I can do that with Tampa. That stretch, they play the Giants at home on September 22nd. Their next home game is November 10th.
That is
Think
ridiculous.
About that for Tampa Bay. They have one home game in the middle of a bunch of road games. That one home game is in London.
Saints fans, you think the NFL hates the Saints?
Yeah.
Look at Tampa Bay's schedule.
Yeah. No, I mean, no. Like, look, Brian Anoa'i said it when the schedule came out a couple weeks ago. He said with the first pick of the 2020 draft, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers select. I mean, it's ridiculous. Like, when you think about it, it's insane that stretch. Okay? So I can look at that and go, Tampa, good luck. I mean, seriously, I'm not even talking about that stretch. I'm looking at the team overall. I know they play the Saints tough, but they're at the Rams, at the Saints, host the Panthers in London, at the Titans, at the Seahawks before hosting the Cardinals again. Good luck. I mean, again, I can see that. I look at the Panthers. We spoke with Chris McClain. They still need receivers. They still
they
need
have
a passing.
A huge question mark.
Yeah. Ron Rivera, every year, first quarter of the season, it's time to fire Riverboat Ron, right? I mean, yeah. And then he turns it around. And that's the Panthers. I can look at that. I look at Atlanta. I mean, look, again, I love to remind them that they blew a they did blow a 25-point lead. Not very long ago, they were in the Super Bowl. Not very long ago, they were up 25 on the Patriots. So, again, we can look at it like making fun of them, but I think at the same time, I'm with you. There is no way you're going to convince me that it's not Saints in Atlanta this year. No way. Yeah. And I think it's going to be neck and neck.
I just hope Atlanta and the Saints don't look at the Panthers, who have huge question marks.
Yeah,
Tampa,
and take them seriously. Here's the thing. Every time they play them.
You can get snake bit in this division.
I mean, the thing is, every time they play, they're always just tough games. I mean, the games in Charlotte are always low-scoring games. Same thing with Tampa. For some reason, when the Saints are at their places, they're quirky. I mean, the Tampa game's quirky. They normally have to come back. And at Carolina, that score is always under 20. I mean, it always is. It just seems like it's always under 20. I can't recall a game at Carolina where the Saints put up like 40 points. It's very few, right? You get what I'm getting at? They're always tough. But my point is, off the bus on the field, they have more talent than both of those teams.
Mm-hmm.
You agree with that?
Oh, yeah.
That more talent. Atlanta, I can't say the Saints have more talent across the board at every position. I think they're good, equal teams in certain things. They have strengths in certain things the Saints have strengths in. And I think at the end of the day, again, you look at that first meeting last year. That was a track meet. Yep. Nobody could stop anybody in that game.
No defense.
You know, so let's see. Let's see what happens.
Who would have thought this year between the Saints and Falcons, who's going to have the better offensive line?
Let me tell you what.
All season long, we'll probably win the division.
Look, I don't know. Again, I'm not calling myself Goostradamus or anything like that. Maybe I had a cold one too many, right? Saints Falcons NFC Championship game. I wouldn't be surprised.
I don't want to see that. I hate it.
I don't believe it.
I hate
I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. No, let me tell you something. The level of it, Sam's Costco will sell out of antacid if it's Saints Falcons for the NFC Championship game.
We're going to be doing a Super Bowl shuffle this
just
year.
Just remember that. Because it almost happened one season. So I just imagine if that were the case.
Don't sleep on the Bears this year in the NFC.
Saints make a play at Minnesota. Julio Jones catches the ball at Philadelphia. It would have been Saints Falcons NFC Championship game. Good. I don't think that's that far off.
No.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think that's that far off.
Nope.
2 years ago, we almost had Dirty Birds and Saints battling for the right to go to, and it would have been in New Orleans. And could you imagine if Atlanta had won, seeing them celebrate on
that'd put a grin on my face.
Look, it was already miserable watching the Rams celebrate on the field this past year, but it's not
I forgot that they played here.
On that note, it's time to go to the break. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Join us on Saturdays from 10 to noon for the Sports Corner presented by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute with Stan Gravois and Casey Gisclair for the latest in high school, college, and professional sports from your local sports experts. That's the Sports Corner presented by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute with Stan Gravois and Casey Gisclair on Saturday from 10 to noon right here on ESPN 100.3.
Guess what? Right now is the perfect time to tackle those home projects you've been putting off. So come summertime, you can just sit back and relax. Home Advisor can help get you started. Home Advisor matches you to the right pro for the job in seconds. You can read reviews and even book appointments online. Home Advisor can help with any home project, big or small, painting, plumbing, even remodeling. Find a great pro now before the busy season hits. Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app.
Home Advisor.
and drivers, spring is here, and along with sun and warmth, you can expect post-winter road hazards like potholes, uneven pavement, springtime showers, and an increased number of cyclists and pedestrians. Did you know that 2018 was the deadliest year for pedestrians since 1990? This spring, slow down on wet roads, avoid potholes, and stay on the lookout for pedestrians and cyclists. For more driving safety tips, visit driversed.com.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Available now at Advance Auto Parts.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
At VSI Doc Sports, you have the nice collared shirt there. It's Tampa Bay colors, by the way.
Oh, here we go.
I'm just saying.
I hate the Saints.
I'm just saying here it looks go. Like it's a, look, I.
It's the Rutgers color.
You're right. It's more Rutgers, I guess, but it's very similar.
No, more Southwest Tech, yeah. Illinois.
Texas Tech colors.
Yo, hoo, hoo.
I mean, thanks to Coach Thibodeau, I do have a Nichols baseball cap from the baseball team.
Polo colors.
I mean, that's more Nichols red. It's close to Yuccaneer red. I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Everything has to come out NFC South.
No, it does. Football season's here, as far as I'm concerned. We've had the draft.
No, what's the date? What's today's date?
It's April. It's May 1st.
It's not football season.
I don't know. I don't know. We're close to OTAs. OTAs.
Cubs are winning. You got the Derby.
They won yesterday. Held on.
Yeah, NBA playoffs.
By the hair of their chinny chin against the Mariners.
Women's World Cup this summer.
Nichols, by the way, host at Southern. 6 o'clock tonight right here on your home for Colonel Sports. Houston Baptist, 6 o'clock Friday, 6 o'clock Saturday, 2 o'clock back over in Thibodeau. So, Nichols, Southern tonight. You mentioned Women's World Cup.
Yeah.
Who's the closest team that they can get to the U.S.? They look dominant
in
right
Brazil.
Now. Brazil's
always going to be up there.
Still the upset
Japan,
every now and then.
I mean, Canada's improving year after year after year.
I think it'll be a fun. I enjoy the Women's World Cup. I really do, especially when I watch the U.S. play. I enjoy them watching.
It's the action and the enthusiast that comes out when women's are playing any World Cup, Olympics, and all that is just through the roof. I wish the men's U.S. team got as much excitement than the women's do.
Yeah, working on it.
I know we are.
Working on it.
But again, you said it's football season, so let's talk football. Go Saints, go.
Fine. Just for you, let's talk NBA playoffs. You ready? Bye. Yesterday, Celtics and Bucks, 123-102. The big story there, a 24-2 run in that third quarter to give Milwaukee the lead going into the fourth. Even the series 1-1 there. Obviously, if you're Boston, you did what you had to do. You're going back to Bingtown now with basically home court in terms that you can continue, you can win there at home. Jason Tatum, I thought was interesting. Only 5 points yesterday. Kyrie Irving only 9. You and I were talking off the air about this. When Kyrie missed games or he was injured or not playing well, it allowed Jason Tatum in that offense to kind of be the guy and do that. He's been sort of a non-factor this postseason offensively. And Kyrie just with 9. When you watched that game yesterday, I'm just trying to figure out, did they do something differently and special to Kyrie? Or was it just one of those things you just check off as an off night?
Yeah, it's just an off night, but I totally agree with you on Tatum, but he's been different since Gordon Hayward's been getting a lot more minutes.
Okay.
I think Hayward, now that he's, I don't want to say he's 100% back, because that injury takes that pair two and a half years to get to where you were. I think his emergence coming off the bench, maybe stealing some minutes, maybe stealing some ball time, because there's a lot of team players on that court that wants to shoot the J.
Yeah, Hayward only with 5 points there. I think the thing that really stood out, obviously, and I'm not saying anything here, but Antetokounmpo, 29 points. Giannis, Middleton, 28 as well. Bledsoe, 21. That's what I was telling you. You got to have that point guard that can really facilitate. I thought his aggressiveness was a big difference yesterday. But if Giannis is knocking down three,
it's over.
I mean, it's not a ton, but he was 50%, 2 of 4, and he knocked it down, and it made it. Left wing, I saw a couple, one in the corner. It just got the crowd going. I thought it was interesting to sort of see that.
Yeah, I mean, if he's hitting a three, lights out.
The other game, the late game, was the Rockets and Warriors. James Harden got poked in the eye by Draymond Green. 115-109, the final there. Kevin Durant, once again, just showing I think he's the best player in the game.
Oh, yeah.
To me, I don't know that was a big statement.
Where's Tucker at? Tucker said he was going to shut down KD in this series, and he's MIA.
Well, Tucker, here's the problem. Am I wrong on that? First off, this series looks nothing like the Western Conference Finals.
No.
Houston's so preoccupied with calls and waiting to get calls or what have you that it has to flow. But to me, this starts and ends with Chris Paul. Yes. Hear me out. James Harden may be the MVP this year, may be running for that. Do you remember a couple weeks back, Kobe Bryant did an interview with ESPN. Do you remember when he said that James Harden's fantastic, but he'll never win a championship with that style of basketball that he plays? He said it.
Yeah.
And people went
after
him.
And owned it.
Yeah, and people went after him, and he doubled down. He's like, I'm telling you, it can't happen. And people were too busy saying, well, you were a ball hog. They play different. You watch that, and you can see why. Chris Paul, tell me if I'm wrong on this, he needs to be ball dominant in the postseason.
He needs to be a point guard.
He needs, correct. James Harden needs to play off of Chris Paul. When the Rockets were a pulled hammy away from going to the finals last year, Chris Paul was dominant in that series.
Yep.
Chris Paul was unstoppable, driving to the basket, kicking and pinning. James Harden, I can close my eyes right now, and most of that game I saw last night is just jacking up three after jacking up three after jacking up three. They make a run. They get it to within four. He's jacking up a 30-foot. I'm like, that's, again, does it get him the MVP? I'm not going to argue against it, but Chris Paul needs to be more dominant. And he's not right now.
Give me Greek Freak as my MVP. But I totally agree with you. Chris Paul does not have a dominant game, which Houston's -3.5 at home. Was it Saturday? Was it 2 weeks the next time they play? It takes so long to get game three in. Mm-hmm. If they lose that game, it's over. They bring out the broom.
Yeah, no, it's a completely different series. That would be my, adjustment. And if that's the case, what do you do with my D'Antoni? Let's talk a little bit more about that coming up here. Plus, a little more football. You can pick the next topic to start the hour. Mm. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN
New
Orleans.
Endgame, Star Wars.